right, sure. No, it's one of those traffic cameras that caught up. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. It was good to be here this week. I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed all the food. Thank you for the families that invited us over. And it's been good to be here. It really has. Hebrews chapter 9. We have been praying for you for years, and when we leave, we'll be praying for you as well. Amen. One thing about our family, when we come in, we either make people smile when we come or when we leave. Either way, people are happy. Amen. Now, I want you to notice a key word in this verse. I was hearing the pastor pray tonight, and another brother praying in there, and just praying about what to preach today. And I want you to notice a key word here. There's a lot of words here, obviously, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. But there's a key word I have to draw your attention to. And this key word shows up 31 times in the Bible in 29 verses, okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, conscience has been defined in the dictionary as a judgment of right and wrong, or the faculty, power, or principle within us, which decides on the lawfulness or unlawfulness of our own actions and affections, and instantly approves or condemns them. I guess studying this thing about conscience, it's an amazing thing. And I'm just going to give you a few things tonight about the conscience itself and what the Word of God says about it. You can run those references. You'll find a lot of good conscience, defiled conscience, weak conscience. I mean, it's amazing about all the different things about conscience. And our English word conscience comes from two Latin words. Con, which means with, and science, which means to know. So basically, when a person is doing something, they have knowledge of what they're doing. And conscience, one person said, is that internal part of us that informs us of our oughts and ought nots. One person said conscience is an internal moral code. Another person said that conscience is like a thermostat. It can be set at many different levels. One time a little boy was asked, you know, I like little kids' definitions of words. I find it funny. A little boy was, you know, they asked him, what does conscience mean to you? He said, well, your conscience is what makes you tell your mom what happened before your sister does. So, that was pretty good, you know. I'm going to tell you, you know. So, Dr. Marvin W. Berkowitz, you know, you get all these lost guys that are experts on moral development. He said, kids have an internal conscience. It starts developing the first few years of life and usually kicks into high gear around the ages of 3 or 4 years of age. And our conscience tells us when we're about to violate or have violated our moral code. And these researchers hate to acknowledge there's a God. And if they were honest and they would acknowledge the truth, they would have to acknowledge that God gave us our conscience. See, God has created all of mankind with a conscience. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Just in the first 14 verses of John chapter 1, you'll find that. And the conscience is a good thing that God's given us. It really is. It tells us what's right or wrong. And it's not only for our own good, it's also for the good of others. Do you know how? Think about how messed up our country would be if no one had a conscience. Now, it's getting that way. It would be a lot worse if no one had a conscience. It helps us to be aware of what is right and wrong. So our conscience is very necessary. And I want to bring to your attention some things tonight about the conscience. And we're going to look at a lot of references tonight. And I won't keep you very long. I'll have you out by 10. And I'm going to preach to you a message title tonight, and you probably heard people say this before, that really doesn't bother me. That's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. Title message is, that really doesn't bother me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I really enjoy being here. My family has as well. It's been a refreshing time, Lord. I'm glad, Lord, that Pastor Stevens gave me an opportunity to come and preach your word. And, Lord, I'm so glad that people fasted and prayed. It sure made it a lot easier. Now, the messages haven't been easy, but, Lord, it's made it easy to preach them. And, Lord, I pray that this week wasn't just a week of filling in a gap or entertainment. I just pray, God, that it really spoke to your people's hearts and that, Lord, you got glory this week. And I pray that your people would get more committed than ever from this revival meeting and that it would bring forth lasting fruit. And I pray, God, you save anyone tonight who may be lost and deal with those, God, who are having a troubled conscience tonight. Help me to make it plain and clear. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, first of all, as you notice here in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works that serve the living God? Number one. First of all, I want to say tonight about the conscience. Number one, it can be purged. It can be purged. Now, there are certain areas around the world right now where people will go upstairs or climb up some mountaintop to kind of get some absolving of their sins or their guilt and all that, or they'll do painful acts of penance to kind of rid them of their guilt or give them favor in the eyes of God. And other people will join some religious group and go overseas as a Mormon or become a Seventh-day Adventist and deny themselves like pork, which is a wonderful meat. And yet the Bible teaches us that there's only one thing that can purge a dirty conscience. And that one thing that can purge a dirty conscience is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ can help someone with a messed up conscience. And that's why mankind needs to be renewed. He needs to be regenerated. He needs the new birth. Everyone needs a new birth to make themselves right with God. And if you're saved, I got news for you. You need the purging blood of Christ on your conscience on a daily basis. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. You don't have to be very well, too much in this world to find out very quickly that there's something wrong with this society. And this society has a great effect on us mentally. And before you know it, you'll start thinking wrong thoughts if you don't plead the blood of Jesus Christ on you on a daily basis. The blood of Christ is a way to cleanse a person's conscience and to help a person think right. And I thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ for the purging effect it has on my conscience. And everyone of you tonight, aren't you glad for the blood of Christ? I mean, listen, when a person gets saved over a period of time, they start to think a little differently, amen? How about you tonight? How are you thinking? When a person gets saved, they start talking differently. When a person gets saved, they start dressing differently. You with me tonight? Conscience is awakened once it's purged by the blood of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 2. If you look at Romans chapter 2. Our conscience can be purged. And I can go on with this point tonight, but I think you got the point. The conscience becomes awakened once it's been purged by the precious blood of Christ. I'm glad I'm saved, folks. I really am. Look at Romans chapter 2. Not only can our conscience be purged, number two, look at Romans chapter 2, and look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Second thing about the conscience tonight is it can be perplexed. It can be perplexed. Originally, Adam and Eve had a perfect environment, perfect marriage, perfect bodies. They were created perfect in every way and without sin. And once they sinned, their conscience became aware of what they had done. Then one day, they became aware of it and they tried to cover it up. And ever since then, mankind has been trying to cover their sins. And now they try to hide and run from God. And I got news for you, you can't hide from God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. How about Cain? He killed his own brother. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Like he's going to pull a fast one over on the Lord. And yet, no doubt in my mind, his conscience began to eat at him. And when God asked him where his brother was, he tried to deny it. But guess what? God knew all about it and he had to confess it. How about David with the sin of Bathsheba? People today are living wicked, ungodly, immoral lives, and they think God's okay with it, but guess what? God's not okay with it. Because it says in the last verse in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that the thing that David had done had displeased the Lord. Jonah ran from God, troubled conscience, to fulfill his own desires, and there was a whale that God had prepared for him. Tonight, your conscience can be troubled. Very, very troubled and tormented. People today, they say, well, give me some meds. It'll help me feel a little better. I got news for you. Prozac can't help a troubled conscience. You name it. Zoloft, Xanax, whatever the case may be. How's your conscience tonight? Bothering you lately? Lord Byron said this, no ear can hear nor tongue can tell the tortures of the inward hell. Now you may be tonight smiling and looking okay and proper and prim and smelling good and all that. But inwardly, what's the battle that goes on in your mind? What's the rage that you face? There's an old proverb that says there's no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. But the opposite is true. There's no pillow as hard as a violated conscience. You know, I remember how I lived before I got saved, unfortunately. I lived a very wicked life. As a matter of fact, my conscience didn't bother me much about certain things until I was converted. Then one day I got saved in August 1995 in U.S. Army in Germany, in Hohenfels, stationed there, and the light came on. And you know, the things that I used to do that didn't trouble me started to trouble me. Do you know why? The Holy Ghost moved in. And when I'm not charismatic for saying Holy Ghost, amen, but when he moved in me, and he's still in me. He hasn't left. I'm glad for eternal security, folks. And when you got saved, guess what? The Holy Ghost came in you. And that's a mystery, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, that Christ could live in you, the hope of glory. And the Holy Spirit is light, and he hates darkness. And the Holy Spirit is truth, and he hates all lies, any error. And when he moves in, he's going to start showing you things that you thought were okay, that are not okay. He's going to start saying, hey, you know what? That's not right. That's wrong. I remember when I was newly saved, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not glorifying cursing, but you know, when I got saved, cursing was a real hard thing for me to get rid of. I mean, it was a battle. Now, the drinking and the drugs and cigarettes, all that stuff stopped the day I got saved, but that thing was a battle. And I remember one day my truck broke down. I was really upset, let's put it this way. And I said some choice words. And I didn't know much Bible, but I was just newly saved. And no one was there going, thou shalt not curse. You know, I mean, I didn't hear, I mean, but something said, that ain't right. I looked over my shoulder, really, I thought, what is that? And I started feeling uncomfortable about words that I said that never bothered me before. Your conscience has been awakened when you're saved. Well, where once it was dulled by sin. So now, some things that you used to enjoy really bother you. You can't get away with what you used to do. Ever see a happy backslider? Let me give you some examples. Take, for example, that cigarette that you pick up after you're newly saved. That little thing. Don't taste the same no more. It's not, you don't enjoy it like you used to. You don't enjoy the dipping like you used to. Because the conscience says it's wrong. Why would you want to mess with something that flies won't even land on? Think about it, amen? And I won't go any further than that, amen. How about beer, wine, or strong drink? You know, you got Christians today, I've been in their homes, and they got wine. And they got Kahlua, and all this stuff, and making white Russians, and making these certain mixed drinks. Bible says you don't even have to look upon it. How can you have it? And they do, you know. It just doesn't taste the same after you're saved. How about those naked images on the internet? Some of you still mess with pornography. Happy about it? We've had women through the years come to my wife and I and tell me, you know, I don't want to tell the pastor, but my husband's been addicted to it for years. We don't want to embarrass him to the pastor. Would you pray for us? I had a preacher's daughter one time call me up and she says, you know, 6 months, you know, he looked clean on the outside. But 6 months into our marriage, and this is 10 years later now, I found out he was a porn addict. You know. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't help spice up your marriage if you're both in agreement on it. Because it should bother your conscience. Because you're seeing somebody that you ought not to be looking at. Hello? So what's happened is you got to the point where, well, yeah, it troubles me, but no big deal. It's just me and my wife. No, it's wrong. It's wrong whether it's on a video or on the internet or you and your wife or in a book. Doesn't matter. It's all wrong. Regardless of what Hugh Hefner says. It's just not the same after you're saved. How about certain movies? Huh?
Some of you got movies that are just completely an abomination. And you justify it. Now you're getting upset, like the teenagers were singing. It's not my fault, they sang it. And they said, "I shall not be moved." And Buddy Blunkall sings that. It's really good, you know. And you run down my TV. It's really funny. I could talk about your TV, and you'll get really mad at me, right? But they will curse with your Savior's name. Some of you never want your kids to see the inside of a strip bar, but you'll let them watch it on TV. Never want them to see the inside of a bar, but you'll let them watch it on TV. You don't want them to learn about evolution, but you let them watch it on National Geographic. You don't want them to learn that homosexuality is a good thing, but you let them watch it on these sitcoms. And you'll pay somebody to curse in your living room. And I mention that, you get mad at me. I mean, let's think about it. Let's take $100 a month that you may pay, because you're a good steward, because you have the bundle package for Comcast. Right? So let's say you just had to use the internet. Let's just say you got rid of the TV. Let's just say for argument's sake, you took $50, and 10 of you took $50, you can take on how many missionaries? You can give an account. Don't be mad. But see, here's what God did with me. I was newly saved, and like I said, I had a problem with cursing. Okay, not anymore. Amen. Relax. But I remember sitting there on the couch and watching this movie with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes called White Men Can't Jump. Some of you are laughing. And I remember sitting there watching it, and like every fifth word's like four-letter word. And the Lord's like, "You got a problem with cursing, don't you?" "Yeah, Lord." He says, "I'll tell you how to get rid of it. Get rid of that." I'll give away my age here. It was VHS tapes. I know I'm old. Now it's like Blu-ray and Stingray and whatever, you know? And I had all these movies. Godfather, Cliffhanger, Terminator, Young Guns, all this stuff. I'm grabbing them. I'm throwing it in this bag. And I bring it to the dumpster, and I'm throwing it away. Help me with my language. I want to ask you. I don't want to show hands here. Okay? I'm not trying to be sarcastic at all. Some of you have been molested. Right? Some of you have been maybe raped. And it's okay to watch it on TV. What's wrong with your conscience tonight? See, some of you are getting really uncomfortable with what I said, but you're watching that and you think it's entertainment. Do you understand that what's allowed on rated R movies today would be considered pornography in the 50s? How about certain music? Like music? What kind of music do you like? Lady Gag You? You know? She does gag me, really. Justin Dweeber, you know. Yeah, this guy coming out, and all the boys, you could tell the trend, right? Now the hair, like, it's like a shaggy Scooby-Doo hair, you know. What a nerd. But anyway, but people like that. Beyonce, you know. Pitbull. Yeah, he's a person. Yeah. Planet Pit, you know, and all that. It's like, or One Direction. You know, he's the new thing. They're like the new Beatles, you know. Yeah, people listen to that stuff and enjoy it. I remember listening to certain music after I got saved. That was extremely hard for me to get rid of. It took me about a year and a half to get rid of my techno music and my Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, and all this other stuff to get rid of. It was really hard for me. There's a hold of that music. Whether you realize it or not, there's a demonic influence that comes into you through that music when you play it, young people. I know it ain't popular what I'm saying. That's why I save it for the last night. Amen? But there was no one there to tell me, like, "Hey, you need to throw that music away." And I'm glad no one ever did tell me that. Because I would have kept it for defiance, just for spite. But the Lord did. The Lord dealt with me. I wish I could get rid of it. Boy, it bothered me. Say, what music's right, preacher? Well, let me put it this way. If you got to change the station when you're coming into the church parking lot, it's the wrong music. Real deep. See, I'm a real deep guy, you know. I need the deep stuff for your pastor. I'm just from the streets of Philadelphia, amen. How about abusing certain pain medication? Am I saying that oxycodone's wrong? No. Vicodin? No. No, not at all. Pain medication itself is not a sin. But there are safe people right now that are popping five a day. And they don't have problems like Brother Kehoe and other people. Amen? I mean, people that have legit, like Dr. Gift, like people that have legitimate pain issues. There are people that are popping like candy. I know a young man right now that I'm dealing with. Okay? He's in his 20s. His mom's been giving him Vicodin and oxycodone since 11 years old. His wife just found out, and they're both saved. And she's like, I can't trust them. You know? Well, so now I'm dealing with people like that, addicts. You know what I mean? They're going from marijuana, now it's a Valium, you know. Just switching one drug for another one that's, you know. Now, what you do with your troubled conscience will determine the outcome of your future. Your conscience will sooner or later manifest itself in your life. It will know what you really are. You know what I mean? Well, how can that person leave the church? Well, they already left it 6 months previous. Well, how can that person cause so much trouble for the preacher and go around back and invite people over and try? And I don't know if that stuff happened. I'm just saying I've been around long enough. Well, they already left a long time ago. You're just seeing the fruit of it. Well, how can this person just get up and leave his wife? He already left his wife a long time ago. Spiritually speaking. Physically, he was there. You see, your conscience can either accuse or excuse the way you're living. You can either face what you're doing that's wrong, or you can try to justify it. And if you start to face what you're doing is wrong, then you'll want to change it. And you know what? You'll see that you cannot keep living the way you're living with your conscience troubling you. I'm going to ask you once again, folks, in all honesty, can you really watch some of the things you watch without the Lord ever saying, that's not right? I mean, really? I mean, how could people watch Hansel, you know, the Gretel, you know what I mean? I mean, it's witchcraft. I'm talking about the new one. The new Wizard of Oz. And how can you watch those things that are witchcraft and justify it when the Bible says thou shalt not suffer a witch to live? God's never, there's no such thing as good magic and bad magic. White witchcraft is just as bad as black witchcraft. Black magic, doesn't matter. I mean, you mean to tell me that your conscience never bothers you with saying a certain word or looking at a certain thing or doing a certain thing at all, ever? Because if it doesn't, it leads me to my next point. We'll look at two places, okay? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and Titus chapter 1. You'll see that you cannot keep living the way you're living with your conscience being perplexed or troubling you. If you start to excuse what you're doing, see, some of you tonight are going, glad it's the last night. And you know what? You're right then and there. You're going to do this next point. You say, what is it? I'm positive. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 1 and 2. Now notice what he's talking about. Two different groups of people here you're going to find out, 1 Timothy and Titus. Watch. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, with emphasis, he's speaking the Holy Spirit, that in the latter times, we're in the latter times right now, would you agree? Some should depart from the faith. Who's that? Christians, not lost people. I had a guy tell me one time, it's lost people. I said, get out of here. Giving heed to seducing spirits, watch this, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Who? Christians. Living like what? Hypocrites. With a conscience what? Seared with a hot iron. Ever burn something with an iron? Ever sear it? It ain't the same. Seducing spirits. Oh, you know, preacher, I just feel led to do this. They always feel, and they got a scripture. One time we had a lady in our church, I'll never forget, in South Africa. She says, the Lord told me to marry this man. I said, my wife said, no. About to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What don't you understand about not marrying a lost person? It violates the scriptures. Now, my wife didn't say it like that. I'm Italian. I emphasized it. Amen. I'm the intense one. In case you didn't know yet. She says, but the Lord gave me scripture to marry him. Mike goes, gave you scripture. She says, yeah. She says, the Lord gave me scripture. He says, what thou doest, do thou quickly. I'm not lying. My wife goes, did you know that was in regard to Judas betraying Jesus Christ? She's like that. And she went, did what she wanted to do. She said, well, we want to go where a guy be willing, you know, do this and that, be willing to marry us. We're going to find a church and a preacher that'll be willing to do it. I said, not me. I ain't doing it. Well, we'll find somebody to do it. Go ahead. I don't have to marry you. I don't care if you've been a member for 10 years. I'm not obligated. You know what I mean? But people feel like that. Well, the preacher's obligated. No, he's not. Whatever he feels led to do, that's up to him and God. Even if it's your precious daughter that was raised in this church. Well, my daughter's... he's got to give an account. And he's not going to violate the scriptures. Give me an example. I'm at a church. Now be careful how I say these things, you know. Because word gets out, you know. I'm at this church and this girl wants to marry this lost guy. So he's trying to get a feel for me if I would marry him. As you know, you probably have learned by now I'm a very tactful guy. And I said, well, surely you want God's blessings on your life, wouldn't you? I mean, you wouldn't want a curse, would you? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you wouldn't want to enter into a marriage contract without being saved, would you? With a saved woman. And how's your children going to be blessed? And you're going to have problems. And could two walk together except they be agreed? Well, that ended that. So then he went to the preacher. He tried to get him to do it. He wouldn't do it. Then he tried to go to the assistant pastor. People are just going to do what they're going to do no matter what. And they feel convinced they're right. They always feel they're convinced they're right. And it goes totally against the Word of God. You know what really bothers me is how people today can honestly have a flippant attitude towards the Word of God. Like that. Well, you know, the preacher will plead with them. The preacher will beg them. The preacher will say, look, you know what you're doing is wrong? Well, and you know what? I told this girl, I said, you know, you marrying this guy is wrong. Don't you know that? This other girl. She goes, yeah, I know, but. Look at Titus chapter 1. Are you with me tonight, folks? I mean, that's all about getting a petrified conscience. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So now a lost person has a defiled conscience, because obviously it's never been purged by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But a saved person can have a seared conscience. And people today are living in a society where they live like they have a dead conscience, or no conscience at all. I mean, you read these accounts, a 12-year-old boy raping a 7-year-old girl in class with the teacher there. Lady rolling up, a babysitter rolling up a newborn baby in foil and baking it in an oven. You know, and you read this stuff and you're going, how can we be in a position today in a society where we're at right now? It's gradualization. It's slow erosion. You can wear down the biggest rock, just keep beating on it. Over a period of time. We live in a generation today where people are doing things they think is acceptable. And they're looking around and say, well, so-and-so does it, and so-and-so does it, therefore it could be right, and it should be right. It's okay, right? What does God think of it? Let me ask you a question, folks. I'm going to ask you a really serious question, and I want you to pay attention. How many of you believe the King James Bible is God's words? I mean, you really, really, really believe it. Do you really believe it? I mean, really believe it. You're totally convinced, right? Is it your final authority? All right, then why are you justifying what you're doing? Why are you trying to look for a way out of what God says don't do? Are you with me? Oh, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, it's my final authority. Okay, so when the preacher says, I wouldn't do that, well, we'll just see. We'll just take our family and we'll go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. 5 years from now, preacher, would you help put our marriage back? Our kids knocked up or locked up and on drugs? Would you help us out? Now you come back 5 years later realizing it's not what you thought out there. But the preacher spoke with unkindness or didn't have charity or didn't have love, you know. I'm not trying to be rude tonight, but is it acceptable to God? Say, well, preacher, I didn't like what you said about the TV. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Is 2.5 men acceptable to God? Is Desperate Housewives acceptable to God? Really? I would ask God, you know, say, God, are these shows acceptable? You know, Dynasty, you know, As the World Burns, you know, soap operas, adult cartoons, you know, Family Guy. Say, God, are these acceptable? How can anybody accept today homosexuality as normal? I mean, who as a guy would want to rub up against another guy's face with a 5 o'clock shadow? I love how my wife's face is soft from all these creams that will never ever allow her to get a wrinkle ever. And it's just nice. Like the smell of my wife's hair and the Bath and Body Works. It's man, I like it, amen. So I can't believe, okay, I'm happy tonight. I'm happily married, amen. But how can a guy, Adam and Steve instead of Adam and Eve? You know, we had a way of handling those guys when I was growing up, you know. I you know what, they want to practice it? Honestly, let's just all put them on an island, let them die out. They can't reproduce, they recruit. They're sick. They really are. Got a guy up in Corning, New York. He dresses like Marilyn Manson. You know, freak, you know. With around that white pasty look, like he's so anemic, like he needs just a good hunk of beef to get the blood back in. And anyway, so I ain't no vegan, amen. But transvestite walks around dressing like a woman, and he wanted to use the public restroom up there in the ladies' bathroom, and he went to court over, and they said no. Praise the Lord. It's sick. My son says to me, is it a boy or a girl? Can't tell anymore. You know, years ago you could tell the difference between a man and a woman. Now you don't know. Is hello? I don't know, you guess. I mean, we've been at Burger King. My son's like, is it a boy or a girl? How do I address? I'm like, I don't know, just address it. Like, thank you. I don't know. I mean, thank it, you know. We were at church one time, and this woman, I mean, I know some grow facial hair, but this woman went way beyond. And this woman, she had a goatee, a Fu Manchu, that grew it out and shaped it. And I didn't know which one was the husband. But we're in a society where people accept things just as normal, you know, really. Transgender surgeries or Nazism. Ever get reading about Nazism? Ever get reading about what Adolf Hitler did? His people, the Gestapo, did to the Jews? It's absolutely frightening. This prison guards can go in and kick the teeth out of a Jew, take the gold teeth out, melt the gold down. They can go in there and pick up a baby by the ankle, smash its brains out against the wall, bash its head till the brains comes out. I know some of you are getting upset by me saying this, but you watched, you know, Friday the 13th or Hellraiser. So, I mean, this is reality, okay? This is reality. And then that same guy, after he did that day, could go home and play with his own kids. Does that ever freak you out? I mean, somebody could do that. You know, that Green River serial killer, you know, that guy in Washington State? He killed like over 50-some women. He was a nice guy, they say. I guess until he got on his bad side, I don't know. But that guy was married to this wife, I mean, this woman they never knew and all that. I mean, it's just weird how people can do things that you never knew what they were up to. The people's conscience becomes so petrified, those Nazis, that they were thinking that they did the world a favor by killing the Jews. Never mess with God's people. The ideology of communism. Do you not see what our president is bringing in? Do you not see that socialized medicine eventually brings in communism? Socialism is always the road to communism. Read history, folks. Read it. How about today, people accepting pornography as a form of art? It's still wicked. It's still sin. Let me let you in on something. You young men that may be messing with it, that could be your daughter one day. Somebody could be looking at your daughter or your wife. You better stay away from that stuff. How about people today accepting fornication? Did you know there's young people in churches that are having premarital sex and they think it's okay? You know, I've been in some church right now where there's boys hugging on girls and girls hugging on boys in the youth group. One boy comes over and smacks the one on the rear end and nobody says anything about it. See, I'm not the pastor. I got a way of handling that. But I can't do it, amen. Adultery is an expression of love. People today accepting abortion as a woman's right. When has it been right to murder children? How can people today accept body piercing as a form of expression of self, you know? What makes it normal for you to want to pierce your eyebrow, your nose, your chin, your tongue, your lip? I told my wife, I said, you know, years ago when all that stuff was being, like you would watch a National Geographic, right? You know, when I was growing up, I saw it, right? And you watch these pagan people with a bone in their nose and in their ear. And now today, you just go to the Mall of America. Wow, look at that. How do you do that, you know? That looks like it hurts, you know? They got these things called spacers, you know what I mean? Gauges, you know? That's all tribal. It's African. I lived in Africa. I thought I was coming back to America. Tattoos. Some of you are sport, you know, should I get a tattoo? Some of you got one before you got saved. Okay, have that. Some of you got it when you were backslidden. But don't keep getting them and showing them off. Do you understand there's body areas where people get those tattoos for a certain reason? And then they come to church and show it off? How about vampire facials? No, I'm serious. You guys are thinking I'm not. Google it. Google. It's wonderful. Tracks you. Anyway, vampire facials. They draw some blood out of your face, spin it around, separate it from, helps keep it, put it back in your face, and makes it nice and plump and white and fair. So now you can look all pasty looking, you know what I mean? Like from the new moon eclipse. Like the Pillsbury Doughboy with fangs. You know? Doesn't he have a nice complexion? No, he looks like he's dead. You know the things that are on TV right now? Do you think they would have been acceptable in the 1950s? Let me give you an example. The Waltons. Oh, harmless Waltons, right? Then you go from there to Leave It to Cleaver. I mean, Leave It to Beaver, right? And then you go from, I mean, that's a joke. That'd probably come out, Leave It to Cleaver, you know. But you got, you know, Leave It to Beaver, and you go to the Brady Bunch, and then he came out with a filthy show in the 1980s, Married with Children. What a perverted show. Sister was a pig. Brother was a pervert. Al was a frustrated shoe salesman. Then you go from that to the Ozzies. The Ozzies. Whoa, what a wonderful family show, right? Boy, what has happened? I'll tell you what's happened. Both saved and lost have petrified their conscience. The lost don't know any better because they're lost, and the saved just keep, they know better, but they keep justifying it. And I got news for you. The more you harden yourself against your conscience, the harder your conscience will become. And if you're not careful, you as a saved person will be doing the same things a lost person is doing. If you're a Christian, you're going to start justifying what you're doing to be okay, and that what others can't do is because they're weak in the faith. You get to a point as a Christian that Paul warns the Ephesians about. You say, what is it? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm almost done tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You get to a point as a Christian that Paul writes and warns the Ephesians about. You get to a point where you don't have any feeling of any conviction for anything you ever do wrong. So how do you know? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Notice who Paul's writing to. Christians, right? Yeah. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's like sexual perversion, that's sexual extreme, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn that from Christ, he's saying. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, as the preacher was praying tonight, the old man was corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul, he was warning the Ephesians that as believers, they could also walk as the heathen. There's even a song that the world sings, walk as an Egyptian, walk like an Egyptian. It's the world. And he commanded them to put on the new man to be renewed in the spirit of their mind. And he wanted them to watch their conscience now that they were saved. Like I said right now, we're in a generation where people today are doing things they think is acceptable, but it's not acceptable to God, and it's not acceptable to us who are trying to live right for God. Now I'm going to ask you tonight, how's your conscience lately? Is it troubled? Is it tormented? I mean, is it toughened? Is there any hope? What can you do tonight? Let's just say tonight your conscience is perplexed. Let's say it is petrified. Is there anything you can do to awaken your conscience? I'm almost done. There is some things you can do to awaken your conscience. Number one, by getting regenerated, by regeneration. Get your heart and conscience sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus Christ by getting regenerated. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. By what? By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You got to get saved. The reason why you can't think right, the reason why you don't love this book, the reason why you can't stand being in church, the reason why you don't care if people go to hell, is you have never been born again. You say, what do you mean? I didn't care about the Bible. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about church. I didn't care about anything of God till I got saved. I'll tell you what also purge your conscience, reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. I cannot begin to tell you. People go, oh, preacher, can we talk to you? Preacher, we got this problem. And preacher, we got that problem. And I always ask them a simple question. Have you been reading your Bible lately? Well, it's been a couple weeks. I say, you know what I'm going to give you, right? The Bible. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, he says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from his book. You've heard the old saying. I remember Dr. Ruckman challenging us in Bible school to memorize a verse a day. And I memorized a verse a day for 3 years and over 1,000 verses later. And I got news for you, man. It renews the mind. It changes the mind when you memorize the Word of God. Read the Word. It has a cleansing effect, folks. Do you really love God's Word? If you do, it'll change your mind. Real quickly, by responding to the preaching. Man, God's dealt with some of you all week. You didn't come. You didn't move. You won't move. Okay, that's fine. You're not coming for me. It's not so I can pat myself on the back and go, I'm still a good evangelist. Doing good. If you refuse the altar calls, it's your fault. It's not the preacher's, it's not your pastor's, not mine, not who I don't care. If you had the best speakers in, and there's better preachers than me, and I'm not saying that with a false humility, I really mean there are better evangelists out there than me. But you won't respond. When you hear his voice speaking to you through the preaching, don't harden your heart. Don't toughen your conscience. Today, the Bible says, if you will hear his voice. Today. Harden not your hearts. Some of you go, I won't move. I don't care. I'll never come. I'm okay. You're not okay. Some of you are so glad that you sat through the whole week and go, I still didn't move. I'll tell you real quickly by refraining from eating. Some of you fasted last week. It was really good for you to do. You know what fasting will do? It'll break the bonds of sin. There are certain sins in your life you're not going to get victory over until you refrain from eating. There are certain things I struggled with for years. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I asked others to pray about it. Then one day God's like, fast about it. And I went on numerous fasts and for numerous days. And then God gave me the victory, but it took a couple years. It's not this to fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness. I'll tell you real quickly how you can get this victory and get your conscience renewed. By refusing to rationalize sin in your life. By refusing to rationalize sin, you're like, well, you know, we've been dating for a while, and one day we're going to get married. No, it's wrong what you're doing before you get married. Stop it! Well, it's okay, I can handle and all that. No, you can't handle those pornographic images, because after you get married to a good girl, it's going to come out to your bedroom, it's going to come out of your mind, it's going to be ruined when you read your Bible, it's going to be ruined when you pray, and you're not going to be the same. You get all worked up, you get excited sometimes as a preacher. I'm not mad at you folks tonight. I'm just trying to tell you, man, stop rationalizing sin in your life. Stop justifying it. I can keep doing it. No, confess your sin and stop trying to cover it up. How many of you want mercy? Anybody want mercy tonight? Or any of you want wrath? Anybody like wrath? That sounds real good, doesn't it? I mean, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Not only do you confess, oh, I confess it every day, forsake it. You can forsake it. You can turn from it. You don't have to sin, folks. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies. We always go past Romans 6 and we go to Romans 7. Romans 6 is still there. Amen. I'm almost done. By resolving in your heart, you're going to spend more time in prayer. Resolving your heart. I learned this. If you don't bow to the knee of the Savior, you'll bow your knee to some sin. My guy tells me, I'm telling you the truth. He goes, man, I got this weakness, man. He goes, you don't understand, man. He goes, when I do it, he goes, I can't get free from it. I said, I'll tell you what to do. Next time you're tempted to do it, get on your knees and start praying. It'll stop. So how do you know? Try smoking on your knees. I was at a church one time. I know it sounds crazy. I was at a church one time and I said, Bible says lifting up holy hands. Right? Right? So about prayer, right? First Timothy, right? I said, how can you lift up holy hands to God with a Marlboro in your hand? Right? No, I'm serious. How can you do that? And this guy heard that. And this pastor was so excited. He called me a few months later. He goes, you know, this guy was struggling with his business. He had a landscaping business. And he said, God convicted him of what you said. And he goes, I can't be doing that and be right with God and expect him to bless my business. He said, God, I put down the cigarettes. God, I'm done with them. 2 hours later, he got this contract and this contract and this. People start calling in. He goes, man, that was great. And it excited the pastor and excited the guy as well. Ask the Lord to show you what's wrong in your life. Didn't you pray that last week? God, show me what. Not get my wife. Get my husband. Yeah. Get my parents, you know, get kids. I mean, didn't you say, God, search me, O God, and know my heart? Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a good song that we sing, search me, O God, and know my heart today. I'll close with this. I'm done. How is your conscience lately? How is your conscience lately? I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm not being arrogant. This message, I'm not being boastful. I hope it changes your life because it changed my life. Because I was like, man, Lord, my conscience has been tainted lately. It's been messed up. How about yours tonight? Would you stand? Would you stand tonight? No one looking around. This is the invitation. I'm done. Hope tonight made sense. It's not an easy message to preach. Our conscience can be purged. Our conscience can be perplexed. I'm going to ask you tonight. No one looking around. Let me ask you tonight. As you're standing, it's easier to come forward. Are you troubled lately? Some of you tonight... So I'm pretty good at covering it up. That's the problem. Achan covered it for a little while. But you know what Achan's sin did? It affected his whole family. His whole family. Maybe some of you have been looking at things you ought not to. Maybe some of you have been listening to music you ought not to. Maybe some of you have been like, well, you know, we've been touching, but we're going to get married one day. Hey, I got news for you. That's still sin. It's still sin. Maybe some of you have been dressing a certain way and God's going to say, hey, I wouldn't do that. Or maybe he's convicting you about certain movies you've been watching or whatever. I don't know. Are you troubled lately about some sin you're partaking in? No rush tonight. It's the last night. Tonight, let me ask you, is your conscience petrified? Is it petrified? Is your conscience tender? Was there a time in your life where you would cry when there was preaching going on? Was there a time where you would cry at the altar? Was there a time where you would cry during a testimony or cry during singing, but now you can sit through a service and you can see people cry next to you, and you can see people come to the altar next to you, but you don't feel moved at all? That your conscience has become toughened. Are you glad that you can sit through an invitation and not move anymore? Are you so glad that it doesn't bother you no more what you're doing or what you're saying or what you're thinking? I mean, folks, this is bad news. You're headed the wrong way.
You should have such a tender conscience. You know what I like about kids? You catch them, their face turns red, they get nervous, they get scared, they start crying. You know why? They still have a tender conscience. You know what some adults have done? They toughened it. Let me ask you tonight real quickly two things. If you're saved tonight, have you been asking the Lord to purge your conscience lately with His blood? Tonight, some of you say, "Preacher, I'm really struggling with this sin." Say, "God, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Wash me with Your blood. God, cleanse my my mind with the precious blood of Christ. Lord, help me to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Help me not to be conformed to this world." You say, "Well, I'm trying to figure out the will of God for my life." I'll tell you what to do. Be not conformed to this world. You want to find out the will of God for your life? Then think like God. How do you think like God? Get in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the mind of God. And if you want your mind right, you got to get God's mind, His words, in your mind. And that's through the Word of God. Tonight, let me just ask you real quickly, no one looking around, are you born again? Tonight, no one looking around, let me ask you, are you saved? Tonight, is there anybody not saved? Tonight, is there anybody here lost? So some of you have been playing a game. Maybe some of you prayed a prayer, or you're counting on a baptism, or counting on keeping the commandments, or counting on some tongues of spirit you had. Let me say something right now. You've got to make sure you're saved. Examine yourselves. Why? Because the conscience can lie. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart can deceive you. Tonight I'm asking you, examine yourselves whether you're being a faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. What is that? A person whose mind has been given over. It's been hardened through sin. Let me ask you tonight, no one looking around. I'm not going to drag it on. Just give me another minute, I promise. Tonight, is there anybody here lost? Would you raise your hand? You may be 13 years old. You may be 50 years old. Just raise your hand. Say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Has God spoke to anyone? Not going to drag it on. Say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. But I need to be saved. I need this cleansing power. I need to come to Jesus Christ as a sinner. I need to be washed in His precious blood. I want to become a child of God tonight." Anybody like that at all? Just about another 20 seconds. Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Alright, as your pastor comes, I hope tonight you got help. Hope tonight made sense. Hope it spoke to your heart.
Let's just remain standing here for a few minutes. I know a lot of you have already been to the altar. And many of you several times this week. Praise the Lord for that. Again, anything else need to be swept up here? Preacher goes through a long list, but sometimes there's something the Holy Spirit puts His finger on that preacher doesn't hit. That still counts, right? The preacher doesn't name it, still counts. The Holy Spirit deals with it. Let's grab a songbook, number 166, if you don't know the song by heart. 166. And yes, I'd already picked it out before he mentioned it, but 166.
Thank you.
pray all week for revival, and we fasted and all that. You probably have preconceptions about how things should be, and maybe we didn't realize some things that we should have. But you know, whatever is the case, a week like this should have been cleansing. There should have been a purging that happened. Not just a purging of a conscience, but a lot of other things. Look, it's successful if it helped you clean up something, right? If there's more that should be done, then there's more that should be done. But at the very least, it should have helped you clean up something. And it may be something you didn't name. Maybe something you didn't mention. Maybe something you didn't preach on. That's all right. The Holy Spirit lives in me and quickens the word where a preacher doesn't name stuff. Right? Second stanza. Short appeal. It's not my desire to keep you standing here all night at all. Really, if there's anything else, now's your opportunity to come square something up. You need to talk to me or tell somebody else something, that's fine. If it's just that you need to tell the Lord, that's fine too. But why don't you take the opportunity? Why don't you take the opportunity? Father, we're so grateful for you being with us here this week. And Lord, we prayed and fasted and were faithful in coming to preaching. We really believe that Brother Del Grande was the man for the job here this week. Pray that we might have been a blessing to him as well as he to us. Father, we have been down this road many times as a church, 26 or 7 years now. Father, we've seen many things happen out of meetings like this. Sometimes, and very seldom, actually, quite the way we'd anticipated. So I pray, Father, you'd encourage people's hearts. Revival service is not just about being rebuked and reproved, but it's also about being enlivened and invigorated to go on. It's another battle tomorrow, Father, and sometimes that's what really drags things out. Is that we just fight the same old fight every day, hour by hour. And sometimes, Lord, suffer those defeats. It's hard. Yet we stand here in the cusp of the very last days upon this earth. We earnestly believe that your Son is coming back any day, any hour. We sure would like to be standing fruitful and occupying when you come back. So, Father, help us in that. I pray you'd bless the preacher as he heads back home with his family tomorrow. Father, it's been good fellowship. I pray that you'll be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated just a second, folks. Let me say once again, I appreciate everybody being here this week. We had a real good crowd all week. Had some folks out last night that had the, you know, kind of prior engagement. We've had real good crowds this size or better Sunday night, as well as Sunday morning, Monday and Tuesday and even Wednesday. So praise the Lord for that. I appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you, ladies, for your turn in the nursery. Brother Del Grande is not one to preach for 2 hours straight or anything, but still it's an hour and a half back in the nursery pulling your hair out and changing diapers. And that's how I lost my hair. So I don't take a turn in the nursery anymore. Just kidding. But I appreciate you ladies doing that and all the extra food and extra doings we do. We're going to take an offering for the Del Grandes here tonight, the final one. I've taken up several this week already. Again, everything that comes in tonight will go toward paying off the motel bill, and the rest goes to Brother Del Grande. So I'm confident we'll be able to give them a good love offering. So, guys, let's come and do that here tonight. Again, tomorrow night, not to celebrate Halloween, but we'll be here about the time the trick-or-treaters are out. We'll try to start eating 6:15, if you'll be here by then. If you're late getting home from work and have to bebop in here late, it's not a problem. That's why we're eating first and try to get a service started at 7:15, something like that. So we hope you'll come back. Look forward to the fellowship. Brother Wayne, would you pray for us, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Bill Grande, for what you did through him, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would bless him now, Lord, and guard him, protect him, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Back up here for a second here. We've been trying to get Joseph to firm up that left hand a little bit. But it's good, Joseph. Number 108. We start off a lot of meetings. I like starting a meeting with 108, but I'd like to close this one with it. 108. Song you can really sing on. Hope you will. As we close.
Sleep.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, ask your dismissal on our, your blessings on our dismissal here tonight. We've prayed a lot about being here, and now, Father, we get to head back out into the world and go back to kind of a regular schedule. Well, Father, I pray that you might have made a difference for folks here. We've been aware of some that have struggled and wrestled with things. Most of us have. And Father, may you have given a measure of the will to fight some more here this week and have given some folks some keys to do so successfully. We love you. We need you. And we look forward to serving you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.